Hi, I'm Mark Woods, back with another Page One podcast, our first podcast from our new studio. I think we need a name for the studio.
Oh, can we call it the Mark Woods Podcast Studio?
Page One
Podcast Studio? Yeah.
Here with Mary Kelly Palka, our editor. I thought it would be good to talk about our move, and I think, yeah, you have a new, this career doesn't work out, you have a new career as a mover.
I really like
you wanted
idea,
to be
actually.
A mover and shaker, and you were involved with
just moving,
just a lot of moving. But yeah, that was quite an undertaking. So I appreciate what you and others.
Mine was a small part. Let me just say that.
So I was going to start with who do we thank in our building, our new building for?
Okay, so there are many people, and I'm going to feel horrible because I will probably forget a few. But I absolutely have to start with Delinda Fogel, who is a finance person with Gatehouse, mm-hmm. but works in our office. And she was the key person in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
She organized all of it. She figured out the furniture. I mean, we had meetings. There were a group of us that got together regularly to meet to talk about things. But it was Delinda. So much so that when we got to the end of it here and we're trying to do some finishing touches, she even reupholstered some benches for us that we took from the old One Riverside Avenue lobby to our newsroom lobby. And I was like, Delinda, I like them, but I don't know that I want that. You know, I don't know that's exactly what we were looking for. She's like, we'll reupholster them. And I was like, we'll reupholster them. And she said, yeah, just go pick out some fabric. So I couldn't even do that by myself. The really nice lady at Joann Fabric helped give me like 10 swatches. I brought them in here. And then Delinda and Julie Canner, who does our good news column and career track and our calendars and also helps me on many things in the newsroom, she helped to also pick out that swatch. So Julie was a huge help in the newsroom for me. And we'll go through kind of what we did. Other really key people, David Planner mm-hmm. was just incredible. He went through every square inch of that old building.
Yeah, tell people
helping
who David
us clean.
Is.
David was the maintenance person in One Riverside Avenue. I wish I could tell you how long he'd been there, but he's just delightful.
Right.
And he's still helping us get situated here as well. And then there were many other key people as well. All the departments had their own folks involved in this. So Liz over in advertising and Judy in administration and so on. Everybody was great.
And IT Ed.
Yeah. So when we got over here, as you might imagine, trying to move a server to keep us up and running.
Right.
Ed Stansel, who's been with the Times Union forever.
He's not allowed to ever leave.
He can never leave us. Ed got us up and running with help so that we didn't miss a beat. Obviously, a lot of reporters, everyone worked from home or the library or Starbucks or wherever they wanted to work from the Friday that we actually did the move. And so it was Ed and Barry and then a group of people that helped us. Luke from St. Augustine and some other folks from other Gatehouse properties came to help as well get us all up and running. And then we hired Suddeth. They came in to move all of our furniture. They also helped the Jacksonville Public Library and the Jacksonville Historical Association Society. I just messed up their name. I'm so sorry. Alan Bliss was fabulous in helping us save our archives. And so Suddeth moved their stuff as well. And they were great. I worked with them really closely those last few weeks and then that last week of the move, and they were fantastic, too.
And we each had two boxes allowed
you
because
boxes.
You were afraid we might take more than that?
It doesn't look like there's a two-box minimum, but obviously we had a few more for some public general areas of the paper. We brought over a lot of stuff with us as well, obviously. But yes, Mark, you had two. I'm going to say, Mark, I'm really proud of you. It took a while, and I was a little concerned.
Yeah.
Mark was tweeting, if you don't follow him, at... What is your Twitter?
TU Mark Woods.
That's right. Okay. At TU Mark Woods. If you don't follow him, you should start following him, because he is a fun person to follow on Twitter. But as he was finding some great things, you were finding all these great things, right? You started tweeting him out. So he's doing this on a late Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever. I come in on Monday the first time after he does this, and it does not look like he's touched anything in his office.
I touched a lot of things and took pictures of them.
Yeah,
and
I think you took pictures of the six things that you touched and you tweeted.
Right.
And so then he did it again a few days later or the next weekend or whatever. And finally, we started seeing some progress. So you were on time. Everybody did a great job. I won't name names, but it is possible there were a few people who had some difficulty getting it down to two boxes, but mm-hmm. everyone did. The thing about people in journalism, as you know, we are very thorough. We really do a lot of digging for information. And so whether we're doing a feature or column about someone and we want to look up information about them, or we're doing more of an investigation, it takes a lot of research. And so we have a lot of documents. And we hate to let them go because it takes a lot to get them. It's possible. A few public officials don't love to give us records very easily. And so when we have them, we just want to hold on to them. So it's really difficult to kind of give up that. And so people literally had years and years and years of documents at their desks in some cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A few decades in some cases, too.
Yeah, right. And let's see, it was kind of fun watching it play out. You got asked about parking a zillion times to the point I think people were just asking to annoy you, maybe.
Our staff meetings became entertaining, maybe is the word for it.
Uh-huh.
Different.
Yeah.
Difficult on occasion. All of those people who get irritated when we go to events and ask questions of them should quickly realize that they ask them here too.
So I was going to describe where we are now. Well, first of all, I was going to describe what the podcast setting looked like before. I did all those podcasts from there. I probably never told people what it looked like. Maybe try and paint a picture.
Oh, yeah.
It was in a corner of our newsroom.
My old office.
Which I was going to say was once upon a time Mary Kelly's office. Mm-hmm. And was converted kind of a corner of the newsroom, far corner of the newsroom. And I think I was maybe a little skeptical about it, but it actually worked. It served its purpose pretty well. We had, it'll be interesting to see whether we have an echo in here because we did have padding in that room.
And we can add it in here too.
Yeah. So, this is a visually more appealing. So we went from that corner office to I want to describe it here. Mary Kelly's going to take a picture.
I'm
great.
Taking a picture of Mark doing his thing.
It backs up to the atrium, the second floor of the Wells Fargo Center, and behind me is the atrium, a big window looking out to the atrium of the Wells Fargo Center. In front of me, I can see out to the newsroom, and in all kinds of directions, I can see light. I can see sky and sunshine.
Because you couldn't see light in the old one.
Right.
No windows, just a few slivers of windows in the whole newsroom.
Right. I think I think that's the biggest upgrade of all is that we were in a building that was on the river, but we were on the far side away from the river, and we had kind of slits of windows that you barely even knew what was going on outside. And here we're kind of surrounded by what's going on outside. Your Mary Kelly's office backs up. You know, if you sit in there and look at her, you're looking out toward the Main Street Bridge and the landing for a little while longer. We'll see what's behind you a year from now.
Yeah, I can't wait to see actually what's behind me.
So I was thinking about what my image of newsrooms is, picturing old newsrooms and what how they varied. When I worked at the Louisville Courier-Journal, it was this urban, pretty run-down building, but it was in the heart of the city. When I worked at Florida Today, it was kind of a suburban, bright, shiny newsroom in Melbourne, Florida, and you walked in, there was a big bust of Al Newhart in the lobby that you walked past. But what I always loved was on one wall, there was all these front pages from Florida Today through the years. It was all the space program. It almost chronicled kind of Mercury through Apollo, through the space shuttle, through tragedies, from triumphs. And being a space geek, I always loved that. And there's no one thing that defines what a newsroom is. I think we get attached to something, but I mean, what are the newsrooms?
It's different for everyone. So in Naples, I worked for the Naples Daily News, and I worked in their Bonita office, and we were in a strip mall. I was down the street from a hardware store and you know, and things like that. And really enjoyed that, but we were in the back of it. I mean, it was kind of this interesting thing, but I enjoyed that. So the thing that tends to be common for most newsrooms is it always feels, at least for me, it has always felt really old. Mm. You go in and it's, you kind of soak up this, you know, the history and all this experience, except both when I got to the Times Union in 2003, they were renovating the newsroom.
That's right.
We were located in a different part of the building because our newsroom was being renovated. So I really came in pretty early on to something new.
Mm.
And it was really nice. And then I was in Burlington, North Carolina. And I'm trying to remember exactly the timing of that, but that was also renovated while I was there. And it was really nice and became lighter and brighter and everything as well. So, but in general, I think when you go into these newsrooms, because you're surrounded by the papers, the boxes, the photos, the, you know, all of this stuff, and then these people, these extraordinary people, these journalists who've been doing this work for so long, even if they're not still there, mm-hmm. they've often left much of their stuff there. You just feel like you're soaking up, you know, our history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was thinking about my college. When I was at University of Missouri, it was an old building and felt already very dated. And I went back there a few years ago, and they have, I think theirs is higher tech than some newspaper newsrooms now. Theirs is pretty impressive. But yeah, what I appreciate about another thing about this move that I think we all appreciate is that a lot of papers, when they've changed, downsized the space, they've moved out somewhere. Like Miami Herald, others have gone. They're no longer in the heart of town.
Right, they're in the suburbs or wherever.
Right, and we're more in the heart of town now.
I love our new location. I will not give away the name of probably the biggest cynic in our newsroom, though I think many of you might be able to guess. But that person said to me today, I really like it here. And pretty much everyone's been saying that from the very beginning. But we are in the heart of Jacksonville. Like you said, our front yard is the Jacksonville Landing right now, and will be whatever comes of it soon. And you know, we're surrounded by the St. John's River and then these great old buildings. We're really close to the agencies that we cover, City Hall and the courthouse. I know they're thrilled about that. We're just down the road a few blocks from the main library where our archives are located that we can access, and soon we hope to have an agreement put together that the public can access as well. So it's really nice to be in this building. Also, the building itself is so historic. We are working on a slideshow right now. We have some great old photos of the Wells Fargo building, which was, of course, Independent Life building before. But it's a really nice building, as you've seen. And the people here have been really friendly. But we are on the second floor. You said before, we're overlooking this atrium. And we can come up escalators to get to our space. Everybody's been so nice. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just such a lively area. And we were used to just being in an area where it's just us.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Times Union people, other than those folks who came to visit us. And so it's kind of nice to come in and you're seeing lawyers and accountants and artists, because we have this great art studio downstairs where Will Dickey's art is hanging right now. You know, it's nice to come into an area and feel like you're a part of something bigger than yourself. Right outside your door.
Right. And it was funny when we knew we were moving, but we didn't know where. And we had certain people like this podcast producer, Gary Mills, trying to frantically figure out, like trying to trick you into telling.
He was pretty impressive, actually. It didn't work. I didn't fall for it. I'm not stupid.
I think you'd say, that's adorable.
I think I might have said that a few times. I use that a lot, don't I?
Yeah, I like that one.
That's not what I really mean. But
I think we got that.
Yeah, got it.
Mary Kay always say that to somebody, and it's not adorable.
It's
but yeah, he was looking at available space there was in different buildings downtown.
Yep. They figured it out, by the way. I mean, nobody knew for sure, but okay. This was often a guess. There were obviously many locations where we could go. Also, people weren't sure how much space we were going to need. I think people assumed we're going to be in this tiny little corner someplace. We are not. We're in pretty large digs. Nothing like we were when there were 1,000 some odd people employed by the paper, but you know, it's I think people weren't exactly sure what we were going to need.
Right. Yeah, I wander. I had not really wandered till this morning, so I wandered to the other departments, and it does spread out quite a ways. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, and it's like there's couches over in HR if I want to take a nap.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the benches yes. in the lobby. Yes. You know, I do have a timeout room in here. Did you find it yet?
I didn't. Is that the little...
Right by the break room.
Oh, okay.
There's a little room. It has a table in it. We could always remove it if we had to. Right now, anyone who comes to visit us would be able to see you because there's a window. But I think we're frosting that window.
Timeout room. Who do you think will be most likely to be stuck in
that? So, by the way, that was originally going to be the podcast room, so it seems appropriate to me that you might be there. but we didn't know, so we're looking at the floor plans. We're going through all this stuff, and then there was a small room, and... I was like, well, maybe we could do something like a podcast room there. So we're trying to figure out exactly what we're going to do and, you know, make the space exactly what we wanted it to be. But much of it was as it was. I mean, like, the structure is a structure. But we didn't take down a ton of interior walls as we were renovating. And so it really is kind of tiny. I call it the quiet room, really, or the formerly podcast room.
Yeah, it's kind of oddly shaped. It's like a...
It is an odd shape. It would be fine for a sleeping bag, though.
Okay.
I think so.
I'll bring it. I have sleeping bags.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be okay.
Okay. Okay. And you threw out, I figured it was on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere, suggestions for lunch spots, right?
Oh, I did. I got quite a few. Oh, gosh. Now I wish I pulled them up. Maybe you did.
I did not.
Can I give my favorites?
Sure.
For right now?
I want to know.
There are many other places. Don't get me wrong.
I'll start with the atrium downstairs.
Okay. I was just going to say, let's start with the atrium. Stephen down there and his folks. There is a Mary down there and a Kelly.
Yep.
Ooh, I know, wow. Right? It's Anna Linda and many other people. But incredibly nice. The food's really good. I've been down there numerous times now, as have many people. For breakfast, you went to breakfast this morning,
mm-hmm.
right?
Was yep.
this morning?
I had some kind of Southwestern wrap.
Yeah.
Yes, it was delicious.
Mm-hmm. I had a grilled cheese today for lunch. So they are fantastic. My other favorite that I did not go to as much now, but I used to go all the time in San Marco, is Indochine. You and I have been mm-hmm. there, and others have been there. Topher, one of my best friends who used to work here, and I used to go to the San Marco one regularly. Well, Andrea, who used to work in San Marco, is at the one downtown. And so I've been over there. They also deliver through something. DoorDash, I think, was what I got a delivery the other day. And I haven't been back yet over to Cafe Nola.
Mm-hmm.
At Mocha, right? Is that Cafe Nola? I hope I didn't just say that wrong, because they're really good, and I just haven't had a chance to get back over there. But I want to. Bellwether?
Mm-hmm. I have not eaten there.
Like two blocks, not even.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. Urban Grind is right across. It's next to our parking garage, which is right behind us. I mean, it's just a few steps. Really nice people. The coffee is fantastic. I think they have smoothies, and I know they had, I haven't bought anything to eat in there, but I know that they had all kinds of breakfast pastries and other things there.
Burrito Gallery?
Oh, yeah, a Burrito Gallery. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, even though we had the new one opened across the street from us in our old place.
It's right there in Indochine. How could I not say that?
But I still like the original one here for some reason a lot
better. There's just something also kind of these downtown buildings again and what's around them. You know, because some of that is in newer things, but then some are in these old renovated buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah,
definitely.
It is neat.
Yeah. And I guess I haven't been there yet, but when I park in the garage, I can see the rooftop at Calford Chop House.
I've only been to Calford once. It wasn't since we moved, and it wasn't part of the move or anything. Though I did say one of our former colleagues is now working over the chamber, and I said that we needed to go out and get drinks. There's the rooftop bar that
right.
I would love to go up to see. We would on occasion go to the one at Post and... What was the name?
River and Post.
River and Post, thank you. Which was also really neat.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
I'm excited about that. We can do a live remote podcast from the rooftop there with drinks.
Oh, no. No, we're not going to be drinking while we do this, because...
That would be fun.
We don't want Mary Kelly to be podcasting at the same time as she's having a cocktail.
That would be good. That would be fun.
I don't normally talk about myself in the third person, so, you know, whatever. But the thought of a cocktail, nope, let's not do it. I'm joking.
So, let's see, anything else? I'm trying to think.
Related to the move, honestly, I just have to say, and I said this to the folks in the room already, I think I've sent them an email and I said it on Twitter or whatever, but everyone was just really great during this move. I do think in large part we tried to make it as least distracting as we could for all of you, that you only had your own area for the most part to worry about. But it still is distracting. People are coming in around you, and we're taking things apart, and we're cleaning things out, and many people helped in areas other than their own as well, and plus people have plenty to clean out themselves. But I was just really happy with how great everyone was, because, I mean, you've moved as a family before. This can be when people are stressed and intense. That's why I loved working with Julie so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we both commented about this. We were giggling the whole time. We both got sick right after because I think, you know, the long hours, it was a lot. But during it, we were just laughing. We had a good time and we were in good spirits and we didn't feel too stressed. We tried to plan ahead as much as we could. And so it was a good experience overall.
Yeah. No, I would say you definitely made it relatively painless. And the issues almost were more personal, psychological, that chronicling you said, like you said, of time that you know, a lot of things glad to step away from, and, you know, the building had seen better days, and it, even at its best, was not the most, probably the building next door you could argue has charm, but our space was never, it served a purpose. But even having said that, you know, you spend 18 years somewhere, which is how long I had been there. And somebody like Sandy Strickland, who spent, I think, 49 years. That last day, Sandy was standing there and in the middle of the newsroom, all of a sudden got, I didn't think I'd get emotional, but I'm starting to choke up. And so, yeah, I think that was the hard part. It wasn't that you guys... you made the boxing up and all that, the logistics about as easy as it, smooth as it could go, but it was still, there's still that little bit of that pain.
I think bittersweet is always a good way to describe something like this. Without a doubt, you associate memories, you know, with a building, with the place, wherever you are, building or no building, even outside. But that's what you associate it all together. And so when you think of the memory, you think of where you are at that moment. And so for many of us, some of our absolute best, proudest moments are associated with One Riverside Avenue, and they always will be. But even with that, I think there was so much excitement about this move that everyone was just really happy to get here and be on the other side of the move anyway. So bittersweet is a really good way, because definitely some sadness, but those memories we'll always have, and we'll always have the photos and the little trinkets and things that you've kept and others have kept, I've kept. We did try to bring some of the memories with us, some of the art, some of the things that we had there to bring over here. But anyway, no, I think we're just pretty much happy to be here.
Yep, and at least if you could see this room, it's set up to record this.
But it's a mess right
but
now.
But yes, we still have one stack of boxes over to my left, some boxes behind Mary Kelly.
These are, and I'll tell you what they are, because I packed most of them.
CDs?
Yes. We have many of our old photos prior to our computerized, the digitized photos that we already have, which are probably mid-90s. And then we had many of our photos on negatives earlier. These are some of the in the middle ones, and so we have many photos on CDs. We did keep some of the library archives. When I say that, I mean just a few boxes, not a lot of stuff, because we're in the middle of some projects related to some history, things that we've been sharing along the way, some slideshows and photos. But most of this is stuff that it houses some of the best work that the people that came before us and some of us have been a part of.
Right, right. So, yep, that's all in the process of being put away, but we're getting there. It's starting to feel like home, just like settling into a home. And
great.
And yeah, I didn't do this for, I don't know, however many weeks, but it kind of feels good to get back in this routine, so... Thanks for joining me on
Thanks
a Page One podcast.